Amen. Our text for today consists of two verses. Verses 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Repeatedly, throughout the Savior's ministry upon earth, the Lord referred to his Father in heaven. He said to his disciples, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. In the same chapter, the Lord again said that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 45. And didn't he teach his disciples when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray? He set out for them that pattern prayer, beginning with the words, Our Father, which art in heaven. On another occasion he said, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:9. We know that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, but nevertheless, the Lord Jesus repeatedly spoke about his Father in heaven. And here in this chapter we have read, in speaking about heaven, he describes it as my Father's house. And in the Father's house, the Lord says, are many mansions. We've already noted, pointed out the word mansions means abode. And so the Father's house is the eternal abode of the Christian. It is where we shall live with our Heavenly Father for all eternity. We mentioned a few verses found in the Gospels where, in speaking about his Father, the Lord speaks of him being in heaven. Now as he's ready to leave his disciples and make his way to the cross, he tells them about his Father's house. As we pointed out, here were the disciples and they were very sad, discouraged and downhearted because the Lord has told them that he was leaving them. But how does he encourage them? How does he lift up their spirits? He tells them about heaven. How often have we been encouraged and our spirits lifted when we have thought about heaven? How often has that dear child of God in the sickbed, knowing that his end is near, had his spirits lifted and encouraged, just thinking about heaven? Not but too long before he will be in heaven, because he knows heaven is home. It's home to the Christian. The Father's house is heaven. And upon arriving at the Father's house, we will have arrived in heaven. But it is one thing to know about the place, heaven. It is quite another thing to know about the path, or the pathway to heaven. Many are on that pathway, praise the Lord. We're on the pathway that leads to the Father's house. And one day that door into the Father's house will be opened and we will be welcomed. Welcomed home. But at the same time, there are many and they're not on the pathway to heaven. And if they're not on the pathway to heaven, they will not be in heaven. Are you on the pathway to heaven? We trust that if not at this moment in time, by the end of the service, you will be. The Lord Jesus, in answering Thomas, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? The Lord Jesus said in response to the question of Thomas, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. They're talking about the Father's house. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way to the Father's house. And we notice here, first of all, that whilst Thomas had a very simple question for the Lord, how can we know the way? The Lord Jesus had a simple answer when he said, I am the way. And we have here, first of all, the inquiry. How can we know the way? That's the inquiry. The inquiry from Thomas was simple. How can we know the way? As was said, the Lord's answer was just as simple. I am the way. In the words of Thomas's inquiry, we have, first of all, his difficulty. Thomas faced a great difficulty here, and indeed you'll notice what Thomas said. Thomas said, how can we know the way? Wasn't speaking just for himself. He was speaking for all of the disciples, for he said, how can we know the way? And so this difficulty faced all of the disciples. The Lord has talked about the Father's house, and Thomas, speaking on behalf of the disciples, is saying, Lord, how can we know the way to the Father's house? He had this difficulty. The difficulty was he didn't know the way to the Father's house. He perhaps knew more than he realized. But still he asked the question. He didn't know where the Lord was going. You see there that Thomas was thinking about some earthly journey that he was taking. He wasn't thinking about the journey that would take him eventually to his Father's house once again. So often that's the case. We have our minds more on earthly things than upon eternal matters. He was like many today who don't know the way to heaven. They would hope. How often have you heard that word? They would hope they're going to heaven. How many people have you asked, or have I asked, well, are you ready for the kingdom of heaven? What do they say? Well, I hope so. That's not good enough. That's a very shaky foundation to be building on for eternity, just a hope so. No, we need something more firm than that. There are many who do not know the way. They have, first of all, their thoughts. They have their thoughts about how to get to heaven. They form their own opinion about how to reach the Father's house. Naaman. Every Sabbath school child knows about Naaman. Naaman was a great man. A great man. But then 2 Kings 5 verse 1 closes with the words, but he was a leper. But he was told about Elisha, the man of God. He was told that if he would go and see Elisha, he could help him and heal him. So there goes Naaman, well prepared to meet with the prophet. Brings gifts with him for the prophet. And he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And he was told, Naaman, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman wasn't happy with that response. For we read, but Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Notice those two little words in the midst of his reply. I thought he would come out to me. I thought he would put his hand upon the place of my leprosy. I thought. But that was just Naaman's thoughts. He didn't think, the great man that he was, that he should be told to go and wash in Jordan, not the cleanest river in Israel. But nevertheless, it may not have been Naaman's way, but it was God's way. And he was told to go wash in Jordan, of course, when he did so, he came cleansed of his leprosy. How many are like Naaman? And that's what they build on what they think. Not upon the truth of God's word, but only upon what they think will get them into heaven. My friend, whatever you do, don't build upon what you think. Are your thoughts always right? Are they always true? Are they always correct? How often have you thought about something and afterwards realized, well, I was mistaken? Well, now you think about how to get to heaven and build upon your thoughts, it'll be another mistake. It'll be a costly mistake. It's the truth you need. Not only do they have their thoughts and build upon eternity upon what they think, but they've also their own testimony. They are very proud of their testimony. That is, a testimony of good works, of being charitable, of being a good neighbor, a regular churchgoer. That's their testimony. And oh, the Lord surely would not turn me out of heaven if I go to my place of worship on a regular basis. The Lord will not turn me out of heaven if I'm charitable and friendly with my neighbor. And so they build for eternity on their testimony. Well, listen to this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You got that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verse 5. That's the truth. I'm not giving you today my thoughts, but I'm giving you the truth. And you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven by the works of your righteousness. What you call as righteous, being neighborly, being charitable, helping out your friends, full of good works, it's not by the works of righteousness that we are saved. In spite of someone's testimony of good works, that most certainly will not open the door into the Father's house. It's not what we do. It's not your works. It's not my works. It's the work that Christ has done. That's what we build upon. And when we build for eternity upon the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ, we're standing on a foundation that is stronger than the rock of Gibraltar. It's a foundation that will never give way. And we will be in the kingdom of heaven. Then there's also their teachers, their thoughts and their testimony. And then there are those who don't know the way to the Father's house, and it's because of their teachers. When I say that, I'm talking about the men that they listen to every Lord's Day when they go to their place of worship. They perhaps attend a church where the minister doesn't know the way himself, has never walked in that way, has never received Christ as their Savior, and he's simply the blind leading the blind. And I tell you, it's not the first time. I have been told by people who are regular churchgoers, when you've asked them about salvation and their standing with God and their need to be saved, they say, oh no, my minister told me. My minister told me if I attend church. My minister told me if I was confirmed, I'm a child of the kingdom of heaven. My minister told me if I just do the best I can, if I'm just earnest about what I do, don't worry about this matter of salvation. You'll be in heaven. That's what the teachers tell them. You know those teachers, those ministers, they're like the old Pharisees. The Lord Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and told them, he says, you will not enter in and you'll prevent others from entering in. They wouldn't enter into the way that leads to heaven. And they prevented others. And there's many a minister and they're guilty of the same crime, because that's what it is. It's a crime in the eyes of a thrice holy God. And those ministers will have to answer to God, and will answer, for not telling their people the truth. Can you imagine what it will be like in a lost eternity, where you have both minister and congregation crying out in the darkness, crying throughout the eons of eternity? Can you imagine how many of a certain congregation will be crying out and cursing their minister and hell because he never told them the truth. And that is the truth. That's what it'll be like. They keep their people in darkness and will not give them the light of the word and the light of truth. How can we know the way? That was Thomas's difficulty. It's the difficulty of many others. Not only do you have his difficulty, you have his dullness. Thomas told the Lord that he and his fellow disciples did not know the way to the Father's house. Yet, in various ways, at various times, during the Lord's earthly ministry, and the disciples, remember, were with him practically every day of his 3.5 years or so earthly ministry. So they sat under his preaching every day. And during that period of time, the Lord made it clear to his disciples that he was the way to the Father's house. For example, John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The Lord was telling his disciples, you need to enter in through the door. Verse 7, same chapter. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. There it is. It's plain enough. That's plain teaching. The disciples heard it. The Lord says you must enter in through the door. And then Christ said, I am the door. I'm the way. I am the door of the sheep. And again in verse 9 he said, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The disciples heard him. He told them he was the door, he was the way. And then Thomas comes along and says, how can we know the way? He's dull of hearing. Like the others. Just in that chapter 14 of Matthew, Philip comes along and says, show us the Father. And the Lord said to Philip, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and hast thou not known me? Imagine. Sitting under the ministry of the one of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. And yet, Philip and the other disciples at various times really didn't know the identity of Christ. And the Lord said, have I been so long time with you? And hast thou not known me? How disappointed the Lord must have been. And so here's Thomas too. How can we know the way? After all the Lord's teaching. John 12. We'll only give a few examples. But John chapter 12 and verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that has seen me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. believe on me. If you believe in me, you'll not walk in darkness. And the Lord had already talked to the disciples about the darkness of a lost eternity. If you believe on me, you'll not be in the darkness of a lost eternity. He had told them. He had made it very clear to them, I am the way. And yet here Thomas comes and says to him, how can we know the way? What was Thomas's problem? Paul explains it. Hebrews 5:11. We have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. That was the problem. They were dull of hearing. The word dull means slothful. They were, if you could put it this way, they were lazy in listening to the teachings of Christ. Maybe their minds were away, 100 miles away when the Lord was teaching. They were slothful. They were dull of hearing. And with other matters, Thomas and the rest of the disciples were dull of hearing. Even though they had the message of the way to the Father's house preached to them on a regular basis by the greatest of all preachers, they obviously did not appropriate the word to themselves. As if they didn't realize that the Lord was speaking to them. Are there not those who sit in gospel preaching churches today? People who are told the way of salvation every week. Still they sit in darkness and still they are no nearer the kingdom. Dull of hearing. The word doesn't apply to me, it applies to somebody else. Oh, that's for somebody else. If you're not saved, if you're not converted, if you're not washed in the blood of Christ, if you've never been to the cross, the word is for you. The word is for you. It's not for somebody else. You will answer to God for how you received the word or rejected it. You not have to answer to God for somebody else. You'll not be able to blame someone else. The word's for you. You need to get in the way by the grace of God. In the way that leads to the Father's house. And where is the way and who is the way? Jesus said, I am the way. You need to get to Christ. You notice also their desire, even though these well-taught, well-educated disciples were dull of hearing, it is good that Thomas at least inquired, Lord, how can we know the way? It's good when people inquire about the way of salvation. It's good when someone comes to the preacher and says, Preacher, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to become a Christian. I'd like to know the Lord. That's good. It's encouraging. How encouraging it is when a soul wants to know about the way to heaven. It was encouraging for Paul and Silas, even though they were suffering that night in the jail in Philippi, when the Philippian jailer came and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That was encouraging, wasn't it? What must I do to be saved? And when a certain ruler asked the Lord, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Luke 18, verse 18. That's encouraging. My, this rich young ruler made an encouraging start when he came to the Lord and asked about eternal life. Not too many today are interested in eternal life. Not too many today ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, that more souls would ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, that more souls would say, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Oh, that more souls would say, "How can I know the way?" Oh, that more and more have come to this house over the years, in the months and the days, would make that same inquiry. How can I know the way? And I will tell you. I will tell you the way. I'll be only too glad to tell you more about the way. I will tell it o'er and o'er. Christ receiveth sinful men. I'll make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. And I would trust by the Lord grace, and by the end of this very day, you will be able to say, "Christ receiveth sinful men. Even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain, heaven with him I enter in." That's it. You press on quickly. While we have the inquiry, that is followed up by instruction. The instruction, the Savior now instructs Thomas and the others regarding the way to his Father's house. Thomas had asked, "How can we know the way?" And the Lord Jesus immediately said, "I am the way." Just by this reply to Thomas's inquiry, the Lord made it clear that it's a simple way. Simple way. In instructing Thomas about the way to heaven, the Savior made it very simple and very plain. He just said to Thomas, "I am the way." You know, some people have difficulty grasping the simplicity of the gospel. You do. They think to themselves, "It cannot be that simple." But praise the Lord, it is simple. Listen to these words. This is how simple it is. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What's difficult about that? Repent and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. Listen again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Listen again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once more. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, and know that I am God, for there is none else. Once more. The Savior said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now take all those verses and put them all together. Repent. Believe. Call. Look. Come. Children in our school would understand what those words mean. It's that simple. That was the text that was preached the day that Spurgeon was saved as a 16-year-old young lad. Those words in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved. And the preacher, who wasn't the scheduled preacher for that day, but one of the deacons, preached that day, and he preached from that text. And he looked down at young Spurgeon in the course of his message, and he says, young man, you look miserable. It's personal and pointed preaching. Young man, you look miserable. You'll be miserable in life. You'll be miserable in death. Look unto Christ and be saved, he said. And then he said, anybody can look. A child can look. Any man can look. Look unto Christ and be saved. And Spurgeon said, that day, for the first time in his life, and he was brought up in the home of a preacher, he has Christians all around him. Spurgeon said, for the first time in his life, he saw that the way of salvation was simple. All he had to do was look. And he looked, and he lived, and became the Prince of Preachers. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord. Look unto Christ. Come. These are not my words. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me. That's how simple it is. This way to the Father's house. It's not only a simple way, it's a single way. The Lord Jesus, in responding to Thomas, said, I am the way. Didn't talk about any other way. He said, I am the way. Didn't say, I am a way to the Father's house. No, he has the definite article there. I am the way. There's no other way. The Lord makes it very clear that he is the one and only way to the Father's house. He's not one just of many ways. That's what you hear all the time today. Oh, we have different religions in the world, and they all lead to God. No, they don't. No, they don't. There's only one way to God. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. That means there's no other. And if a soul does not receive Christ as Savior, if a soul does not receive Christ as the way, they will not be in the Father's house. And I can say that today on the authority of this book. So where will you be in eternity if you'll not be in the Father's house? Face up to that. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. It's a single way. You remember when Noah built the ark? And he was instructed on how to build it. He was given the pattern. He was given the design. And one of the things the Lord told Noah to do when he was building the ark, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. A window, one window. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. Hear what the Lord said to Noah? And the door. One door. Only one way into the ark. It was the ark of salvation because it saved Noah and his family. Only it were saved. There wasn't a door around at the other side. There wasn't a door anywhere else to get into the ark. There was one door. If anybody wanted to be saved from the judgment to come that was about to fall upon the earth, they had to enter that one door. Any man, woman who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must enter in through Christ, the one and only way. And as the Lord Jesus said in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. Miss the door and you miss heaven. Refuse the door, reject the door, you reject heaven. And I can say that's the gospel truth. If you do not come to Christ, who is the way to heaven, the door to heaven, we have to say this. We'll not see you in heaven. Because there's no other way. There's only one way. It's not the Muslim way. It's not the Buddhist way. It's not Rome's way. It's God's way. And Christ is God. And Christ is the way. The way. Not only is it a simple way and a single way, it's a sure way. The soul who wants to be in the Father's house after they leave this scene of time must be sure they're in the way. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The truth. That's how you can be sure. How can I be sure? How is it that I am sure of being in the Father's house? Because on the 5th of May 1969, Spirit of God worked in my heart and in my soul, and by His grace I stepped into the way. And from that day, in 69, I have been in the way ever since. And one day the door of heaven will open, and I will enter in. People say, well, how can you be sure? You're being very presumptuous. No, I'm not. John tells us these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Ye may know. We don't have to go through life wondering, will I be in heaven? Will I make it to the Father's house? No, we can know. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth. If Christ is the truth, then what Christ tells us is true. It's true. So it's a sure way. He's the truth. Then you can be sure of reaching heaven. This word true, when the Lord says, I am the way and the truth, the word is used in opposition to an untruth or to a lie. It's the sense, and the Lord has used the word, I am the way, the truth, as opposed to a lie or to an untruth. And there are many, many lies told about the way to heaven. Many lies. Oh, the devil can come up with them at a moment's notice. People have been told by clerics, do the best you can, you'll be in heaven. Well, that's a lie. The poor thief on the cross didn't have much chance to do the best he could. Yet the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. People have been told, no matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, you'll be in heaven. Well, that's a lie. People have been told that if they are devout and they're devoted to their religion, then they'll be in heaven. That's another lie. People have been told there are many roads or religious ways, and no matter which one you take, as long as you're devout and you're dedicated, you'll be in heaven. That's a lie. We've heard that, haven't we? They are what the Lord describes as a refuge of lies. They take refuge in these lies. But you know what the Lord said about the refuge of lies? Isaiah 28:17, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the heel shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. The man that takes refuge in his lies, these lies that he's been given and he believes, will be swept away in the day of judgment. There's no hope for the soul in a refuge of lies. It's the truth you need. The truth. The truth. In John 8:32, the Lord Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from those chains that bind you to the sins of this world. The chains that bind you to the God of this world. The truth will set you free. You'll be liberated. You'll enjoy the freedom that's in Christ. You'll enjoy the freedom of the gospel. You notice also it's a satisfying way, because the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and, once again, the life. In other words, as the Lord said, I am the way, there's no other way. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, there's no other life worth living. It's a satisfying life. The psalmist said, behold, as for me, I will behold the face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'll be satisfied. Yes, we'll all be satisfied when we awake in glory with the likeness of Christ. But we're satisfied even now. We're satisfied Christians on the way. We're satisfied. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We can re-echo those words. This is my beloved Savior, in whom I am well pleased. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Another name for me. There's love, there's life, there's everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. We're satisfied. We don't need to go again and try the broken cisterns. We don't need again to go and visit Vanity Fair. We don't need to go and seek the pleasures of sin for a season. All we need is in Jesus Christ, and we're well satisfied. In the last place, and I'll just give you the points, he mentions here the impossibility. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can enter the Father's house but by me. No man can enter heaven except ye come through me the door. Except ye come my way, because I am the way. That's all very plain. There's the impossibility. First of all, there's no exception. No man. No man. No exception. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. And the Lord says, no man. If you don't come the way, no man. Doesn't matter if you're a president, or a premier, or a prelate, or a prophet, or a priest. No man. Doesn't matter who you are. You need to come by the way. Christ is the way. So there's no exception. There's no entrance. The Lord said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Father's in his house, so there's no entrance into the Father's house. There's no entrance into the kingdom. Matthew 25, verse 41 will prove that. And then there's no escape. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can't get round it. There's no escaping getting round coming to Christ. Must come to Christ. You must receive Christ. You must believe in Christ. You must repent and receive Christ by faith. And there's no escaping that. If you want to be in heaven, will we see you there? That's the way to heaven. We saw last week, what is heaven? We'll be looking in the days to come at the wonders of heaven. And the wedding in heaven. And the worship of heaven. Sure you'd want to be there. You must come the way that leads to heaven. And the way is Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we praise Thee for the simple, plain way. That even though a fool, as the Scriptures tell us, will not err therein, we praise Thee, Lord, that it's simply set out for us, that children are found in the way. Children have understood the way. And children have received Christ. O Lord, I pray that adults will receive Him too. That they, Lord, will make Christ their way to heaven because there is no other way. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. Grant us, Lord, a blessed and restful Sabbath day. Return us this evening, Lord, to spend more time with Thee in Thy house, around Thy word. Teach us, O Lord, come and teach us more about Thee and more of Thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And forevermore. Amen.